Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, I trust you've had a good Christmas season with your family and friends and loved ones of various kinds. It's always a wonderful time of year, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity that it gives me and my family to spend time together to just reflect upon a year that has gone by, that is almost to the end, and to consider what the Lord may have in store for the year to come. This week after Christmas always seems to me to be a bit of a transition week. And for that reason, I'm going to consider an isolated text for the next several days before we return to our study in 1 Corinthians in the month of January. And I've selected as my target text a well-known statement in Romans chapter 1. I'm particularly thinking about verse 16, where Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." I want to consider this text, and actually a couple of verses that go before it. In fact, we will scan the verses in the chapter that lead up to it. But I want us to see the powerful potential of the gospel of Jesus Christ to change hearts and lives. Now, I trust that you understand that Romans is the book of the gospel. Not that it is the only book in which you find the gospel, but it is a book that is preeminently given to a thorough and careful examination of the gospel of Christ. More detailed, more expansive in its treatment of the gospel than any other book in the Bible. The word gospel is mentioned four times in the first 17 verses. And I'm convinced that we really need a recovery of the gospel in our day. There's a lot of reference to it. There's a lot of assumptions concerning it. There are a lot of people who think they understand it who perhaps do not. But I'm convinced that more than anything else, we need to return to a careful study of and proclamation of the gospel of Christ. And that's what Paul is giving us in this great book called The Epistle of Paul to the Romans. Now, I pause to welcome you to this Monday, December 27 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. I'm glad you have been able to join us today. I'm thankful for those whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on the station. And it's not too late for you to consider a year-end gift to the Beacon Broadcast if God has used this broadcast in your life in any way. Yes, I repeat, I think we need a recovery of the gospel in our day, a careful and prayerful study of the gospel, and a careful and prayerful study of the book of Romans would, I think, supply the remedy. And so, what do we find? In Romans chapter 1, it is generally agreed that verses 1 through 17, that is, the first 17 verses of the first chapter, is the introduction to the book, a book which constitutes 16 chapters, one of the longest books in the New Testament. And in this introduction, Paul introduces himself and his recipients, that is, the ones to whom he is writing. He declares his interest in their lives, his prayers for them, and his desire to come to visit them. But why does he desire to come? And he tells us, it is to preach the gospel in Rome also. He has preached the gospel in many places, but so far he has not been able to preach it in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, and he has a great and burning desire to be able to do that. And why is that so important, to preach the gospel in Rome also? And that's why he writes this book. You might say that the epistle of Paul to the Romans, it is an epistle, a letter that he's sending to the church at Rome, is written to explain why it is so important to him to preach the gospel at Rome. And so what I'm looking at in verses 14 through 17, what I'm looking at is the climax of Paul's introduction to this epistle. And so what we're going to look at is the gospel produces concern, the gospel produces commitment, and the gospel produces courage. And I begin with verse 14, the gospel produces concern, and here we read, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I am debtor. Paul, in those words, explains his responsibility to the gospel, his gratitude for the gospel, his gratitude for God's saving grace that came to him in the gospel. He is a debtor. And we all know what a debtor is. A debtor is one who has a debt, an obligation, something that requires repayment that he must do in order to satisfy this debt. And Paul says, I am debtor. Well, what kind of debt is he talking about? Is this a monetary debt? Surely not. Is it a debt of trading labor? Somebody gave him several days' help, physical labor in accomplishing something, and so now Paul considers himself in debt to them in order to return the favor? No, he tells us what it is. It is a debt of gratitude. It is a responsibility to make a return to God for the gracious blessings that he has received from God. It is a debt that has been created by God's gracious gift to him, the grace of God that has come to him, the unmerited favor of God that has come to him. Since Paul, or nor anyone, deserves God's grace, since Paul nor anyone earns God's favor, it therefore is not a reward, it is a debt. It's a gift, but a gift incurs an unspoken debt, a debt of gratitude. If God's grace came to us because of something we did, then it would be simply wages, reward, payment, God paying us for something we have done. But the grace of the gospel, the grace of salvation, doesn't come that way. It cannot come that way. It never comes that way. God does not allow it to come that way. God will not become a debtor to us as if somehow we have done something that then creates a debt that God has to repay to us in order to square the account. No, God graciously gives and gives and gives and gives and gives enormously. He gives in the greatest magnitude. He gives as only he is able to give. He gives as only a great king is able to give, and he's the greatest king. What he gives, we can never repay. It is a gift that is of such enormous value that the idea of repaying God anything that would approach the value of the gift is a ridiculous thought, but the reception of such a great gift does create a debt of gratitude. If we don't feel gratitude, if we don't feel the need of expressing our gratitude and demonstrating our gratitude, then there's something wrong with us. We've got a pretty cold heart. And so when Paul says, I am a debtor, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise, he is saying, I owe a debt of gratitude to God, and this is the way that I will, and I started to say discharge my debt, and I suppose that's one way to put it, but in another way, we can never discharge this debt. We certainly can't discharge it fully, or even in anything but the smallest, infinitesimal fraction of the value that has come to us. But nevertheless, if we don't feel that debt of gratitude and don't have a desire to please the one who has so bountifully and graciously given to us, then there's something wrong with us. I heard an old preacher years ago, one who's now been with the Lord since 1960-something, so it's been over 50 years ago now. But he used to say this, and I think he was right. He said, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well-nigh hopeless. When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well-nigh hopeless. Is he right? I think he is right. A person who doesn't feel gratitude has a shriveled soul, has a dead soul. He's well-nigh hopeless. He really is. And so Paul said, I am a debtor. It's a debt of gratitude. It's a universal debt. It's not only Paul's debt, it's the debt of everyone who has received the grace of God in salvation, the grace of God that comes to us in the gospel. It is a universal debt that must be discharged universally and indiscriminately. And Paul says, I am going to direct my gratitude, the gratitude that I feel and the gratitude that I express, the gratitude that I demonstrate, I'm going to direct it to Greeks and barbarians, the wise and the unwise. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Who are the Greeks? Well, we know that the Greeks, of course, were people from the country of Greece, from the Greek peninsula, who at one time had an empire that ruled a great portion of the world, but their empire was absorbed into an even greater empire, the Roman Empire, but their influence upon the Roman Empire was enormous. The Greek language was, it became actually the universal language of that time. That was the language that people could use to cross boundaries, to cross the boundaries of countries and go from one country to the next and one people to the next and one nation and one tribe and one language to the next as they carried out their business, their commerce. That was the universal language, very much like English is the universal language today. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it is. And I see my time has caught me short, so I'll have to come back tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.